I'll add you in 1 second.
Sounds good. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Hey everyone, and welcome to 50 Words from Murder, where we go dive into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and we are doing this as a special live episode. This is not something that we do. And today we have a special guest, Nikki Washalison. Hopefully I said that correctly. I'm going to add her right now. And Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hi, Justin. Thank you for having me. This is super cool. I didn't even know you had this platform.
Oh yeah, this is, I don't do a whole lot of it, but I love StreamYard. The reason we're talking to Nikki today is she's actually been, we've been talking back and forth for the last several months, but her mother was murdered back in 1993. There has never been justice for her case. They know who did it. They have a lot of evidence, and she's gotten nothing but a runaround for her entire life. You were 10 when this happened, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and just let you introduce yourself and... Yeah.
Wow, this is great, Justin. I'm like, I'm so starstruck because I have watched you on TikTok for 2 years since I have started my own public quest to bring some kind of justice for my mom. My name is Nick, and I am the daughter of a murdered woman. I don't know if you've ever heard me on TikTok, but I have gained a little bit of a following myself in the last 2 years. Let's start at the beginning. I was 10 years old the night I went to my mom for the last time. It was any other night. It was 11 p.m. in summer. I said goodnight to her. I came up behind her, and I lied to her because she had asked me either did I brush my teeth or did I walk the dog. Of course, I was like, yeah, I did. And I remember sneaking away thinking I got away with it without having to do it. And that was the last time I ever saw mom. I'll remember hearing her boyfriend come home about 15 minutes later. And I'll drift off. And the next thing I remember in 1993 are flashlights in my face. The police are in my room. They're waking me up. They're saying, get up, get dressed. And I'm freaking out because there's police in my room. The last thing I think is mother is now dead in the other side of the home, right? I'm thinking I'm in trouble. So I do what they say. I get dressed. And they're escorting me up the stairs and into the living room, right where I said goodnight to my mom for the last time. And they're telling me that my mom and her boyfriend got into a fight. I just remember that. And I'll believe it. And I'll remember walking behind the officer as he tries to shield me from seeing what I'm seeing. But I'm seeing that on the couch where I had said goodnight to my mom hours earlier is now sitting her boyfriend. And he had blood on his hands and he had them up and he's rocking and he's talking really fast. And I remember police officers standing all around him. And that's the last time I'm in my home. They'll get me out the front door and into a police car that's sitting in the driveway, the closest cop car. And there I'll find my 3-year-old little sister and she'll just immediately jump on me and say, Poppy killed mommy, Poppy killed mommy, Poppy killed mommy. And I'll be stunned. I don't know why my little sister is saying this, Justin. I'm like, that's not what happened. Mom and Russell got, because it's her dad, not mine. They got into a fight. Mom is at so-and-so's. I'm the older sister, so I'm trying to talk reason into her. And I remember getting upset with her as she's telling me that Poppy killed our mommy. And I remember like 10 minutes goes by and I'm really upset with her. And then the next big event happens. And that's when they open the car door, they being the Sedona Police Department, and they will put the suspect for murder, Phil Bennett Peterson, in the same car as the children. Even though there was multiple cars on scene to put him in, they choose to treat him like a victim, not a suspect. And remember, I saw blood on him. So they let him in the car with my mom's blood on him, where he therein embraced me and started whispering really weird stuff in my ear, saying that I'm sorry, I love you, and I want to keep the family together. And that's when I knew that something was wrong. It wasn't when the cops showed up. It wasn't when my little sister kept chanting that Poppy killed mommy. It was then, because this man wasn't my dad. He kept a distance from me. He didn't bond with me. This man did not like my dad. So when he did this and started saying really creepy stuff in my ear, I knew something was wrong. And that was the longest car ride ever because he wouldn't get off me. I looked just like her. So as soon as he saw me in the car, he probably felt instantly guilty. We'll go into foster care and I won't even know for another 24 hours that my mom is deceased. And they'll have Russell Bennett Peterson, again, the murderer, deliver the news to the children in a group of victims, advocates, police officers, I can assume, but they'll have him deliver the news to me. My family members It will be him. And then they'll take me back to foster care. And then they'll release me to his custody for the next day. And he'll take us on a pink Jeep trail tour. And my dad won't even know this for 30 years, that this man had access to me. And he'll try his best to brainwash me in those hours and tell me how sorry he is, and that convince me that it was an accident and that I wanted to live with him. And he was using my sister as a pawn.
Oh, we lost the sound for a second there, Stephanie. Or sorry, you meant to call. You there? Okay,
yeah,
sounds.
Can you hear me?
Sounds back. Yeah, sounds back. Sorry.
Okay. He basically just did his best to brainwash me and convince me it was an accident and try to convince me to tell the proper authorities I wanted to live with him. And that was the last time I ever saw the man. I will go live with my father, and my little sister will go live with the suspect, the suspect for murder. He will get the chance to raise his daughter because there will never be any charges, no arrest, no justice in my mom's case. 30 years will go by. As my family fights with the Sedona Police Department and the Yavapai County's Attorney's Office, they fight, but they don't ever do anything. Nothing ever actually starts to happen until I grow up and I start to get the media involved. You guys, TikTok, Fox News, True Crime Podcast. And then after 29 years, I'm getting the 911 call that my family's asked for decades. I don't know why media moves and creates media pressure, what they say, but it works. And that's where we're sitting now.
Yeah.
Pressure.
And I do want to play that 911 call, but I want to, before we do that, because I know that when we've talked, you talked about the fact that you didn't realize that apparently your aunt had been advocating behind the scenes for years during your entire childhood, your teenage years, et cetera. What, during those years between, I guess, 10 and 18 or 10 and whenever you started to get involved in this yourself, what did you believe, like, what was your thought process? What did you believe had happened? Because I'm guessing it sounds like they kind of sheltered you a little bit. I mean, did you know that it was a murder? Did you think that it was accidental? What did you know?
Oh, my family never kept it a secret that my mom was murdered by Russell. Never, ever. Remember, Poppy killed mommy. I was, you know, instantly, I was the first one to know that Poppy killed mommy. It was never a secret. They didn't show me the case file. I never wanted to go out of my way to read it for decades. But they will tell me that Russell will kill my mom, and I will know all my life that he got away with murder. But I don't think that there's anything I could do about it. I'll know my aunt is pressuring them. My grandma started, then my aunt got involved. I'll know all my life that my aunt is doing this. I will choose not to get involved because I don't think I have to. My aunt devoted her life to this. But the problem is that she kept going back to the agencies trying to silence her, not to the media, which is what the route I chose to take decades later.
And how has that been going?
It's the only way I'm getting any kind of movement is by talking to you and other people like you. It sucks having to re-traumatize myself. I never thought I was going to have to be the one to do this since my aunt was doing this. But here we are. You know, how you doing, Russell? I know he watches.
How's the police been as far as response? Because you told me some stuff, and I kind of want the people to know about that. So let's talk about we will play the 911 call after that, but what kind of movement have the police given you?
Oh, it has been difficult, Justin, from start to finish with the Sedona Police Department. They have treated me more like a suspect than the family member of a victim. I'm sorry, I'm going to get really emotional because they're the agencies that have are supposed to protect and serve her. And they've let her down for decades. And now that I've come forward, they're treating me like a perpetrator. They've told me that I've harassed them by my constant request on, you know, via social media and emailing them. I'm harassing them. I'm harassing them by releasing the detective's information, like her government email address. She told me that was harassment. She was going to press charges on me. So no, it has not been a fun ride. It has not been a mutual street together to try to solve this. It has been very difficult, and they are suppressing information. It has been 2 years. I still have not gotten a complete case file. It took me, my family, 29 years to get the 911 call. They don't want me to show the world what they did because it was police misconduct and misconduct. There's no other way to put that. They put the suspect in the same car as little children. They dropped the ball from go. They were a 4-year-old police station the night that they responded to my home for a domestic violence homicide. They didn't know what they were doing. And now I feel like they're trying to cover up from their inaction for decades. And they're trying to silence my family.
And I've been to Sedona, and it is beautiful. It is, if none of y'all in here have ever been to Sedona, you should 1000% go. It's gorgeous. But it's small. And I can't even imagine how small it would have been back then, you know, back in the early 90s, because it's small now, still.
Yes.
So part of it could be resources, but at this point, there's really no excuse. And there was really no excuse then because you had overwhelming evidence. And so, you know, let's go ahead and play the 911 call for people. I'll go ahead and get it queued up here. And let the people hear it. It's 8 minutes, right? So we'll let people hear it, and then we'll chat about it. But y'all can kind of, you know, the one thing I like about when we have access to things like the 911 call, and by the way, this at the bottom of it is Nicole's TikTok. If you want to give her a follow, right, you know, right here, you can see it down there. Give her a follow so you can kind of hear the stories and see the progression. But the one thing I like about these is that you can kind of hear what happened and people can kind of judge the inflection in the voice. They can judge what they hear. So I'll shut up and we'll play this. So I'm going to mute us real quick while we do it.
Okay, so the only one there?
I've got my daughter right here.
Okay. We need to verify if she is conscious. No. We can't see respond to you. Is she breathing?
No.
Okay.
She's respiratory.
Okay, what I want you to do, we need to start CPR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can your daughter do CPR? How old is she?
She's 3 years old.
Okay. Then you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to be listening to me on the phone and trying to do it, okay?
I'm listening to you.
Okay. Can you get the phone near her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 451-911.
No.
Alarm to responding personnel. Be advised, patient is unconscious, not breathing. We're starting CPR instruction. Okay, what I want you to do is open her airway.
Uh-huh.
To do that, you need to put one hand under the neck, one hand on the forehead, lift upward, one on the hand under the neck, and push down with one foot so her head is tilted way back like she's sleeping.
Okay, 1 second.
Okay. Medic 41 is fine.
No, she needs help, please.
I know.
Yeah.
And you're okay.
We need help real bad.
Okay. They are coming, but I need for you to do this for me, okay? Okay, is her head tilted back?
Oh, God.
Mr. Peterson, is it tilted? Okay, is it tilted back?
I'm trying.
Okay. If her head is tilted back, then what I need for you to do is pinch your lip.
There's too much stuff around.
What do you mean there's too much stuff around?
Lots of stuff.
Is it coming out of the mouth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's coming out of everywhere.
Okay. Is it coming out of the mouth? If so, we need to clear it out.
Okay. Let me try. Please come into the bedroom.
Do we know if the doors are unlocked?
Yeah, okay, I'm trying. I'm still on the line.
Mr. Peterson, is the door unlocked?
Oh. Okay, I've got her.
Is your door unlocked, sir?
My front door?
Yes.
I'm going to get it unlocked. No, the people are here.
Okay, that'll be
yes,
the officers.
Need help.
Okay, that'll be officers.
They're here. The officers are here. I need help.
444 Danville, 11.
Please, I need help. That's my daughter. Holy. She's 4 years old. She's going to be 4 August 11th.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
They will go ahead and take over this for you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so then you can
go ahead and talk to the officers.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, so that was all. You doing okay?
Yeah, I've listened to it like 100 million times, but yeah, every time is not easy.
No, I'm sure. So that was an interesting call. What I heard, I feel like those types of calls, you can tell a lot. He didn't seem overly panicked. He did sound nervous, but he didn't seem overly panicked. And he thinks she might have shot it. You don't shoot yourself in the neck or the chest.
Admission at the very beginning of this call. I might have, she might have. That's
yeah,
what I heard. But, admission.
But logically speaking, it's to turn a gun on yourself to shoot you in the neck or the chest. It's not in a struggle with a firearm. It just, I'm hard pressed to believe that.
Correct.
And
they did a reenactment.
They did a reenactment. I saw that on something that you sent me where they basically determined that there's no way she could have done it on herself. And as for those people who are listening to this, you know, as solely a podcast, you didn't see it, but for those watching it on YouTube, you could see the things that you were putting up in that video, and you could see that there was, you know, ballistic information, you know, the residue on his hands, all of this stuff that seems like it should be open and shut. I mean, to me, and I mean, I'm not law enforcement, but why? So when all of this went down, was he arrested at all? Did they take him in for questioning, anything like that?
The night of, he went in for an interrogation. We all took the same ride to the police station and he was interrogated. And then they set him loose. He was questioned a few days later, and then he wasn't questioned again until September. He was questioned a total of 3 times in 1993. And that was it, Justin. They gave up investigating by October, November of 1993. My mom's case was done, even though my aunt kept saying, help us.
And did in those interviews, in those interrogations, did they ever have him do a polygraph? They had, they were available back then.
Yeah, he refused to.
Interesting. Okay. And they've done nothing, no additional questioning, anything since 1993.
They claim that they cannot compel the suspect to speak at this point. They've reached out to him. They've staked out his house. But no, basically you can just kill women in Sedona, Arizona and get away with it, apparently. That's the way I feel.
Unfortunately, it seems to be the case in a lot of places, and it's not okay. So you've been advocating now, and nothing's been done. Your aunt was advocating, nothing's been done. So what and when was the last movement?
Oh, good grief. So January 2023, I will get upset at the new year, always at the new year, and I will write, because they're stonewalling me all through 2022. They're telling me, they sent me that letter in 2022 saying that my TikTok channels were harassment. Basically, you know, they have nothing and they're not going to do anything. So finally, I was like, what can I do? And in January 2023, I wrote to Sedona City Council. I laid it out for Sedona City Council, and I said, I want an interview. They've never interviewed me as an adult. They never interviewed my dad, who is the motive for murder, Justin. They never interviewed him at all. So they finally let me come up there in January, end of January. I'll sit down with Sergeant Laura Leon. She'll answer my questions. She'll basically point to the Yavapai County's Attorney's Office. When I call the Yavapai County's Attorney's Office, they point back to the Sedona Police Department. She'll give me the runaround and basically say that there's nothing they could do now because it's been too long. And I will compel her to please interview my dad. So several weeks later, in February of 2023, she'll drive down here with her little friend, her detective friend, and they'll interview my dad. But since February 2023, over a year, I don't know if they're doing anything. And in my interrogation in January, I will tell them that I will meet Russell's next wife, and she will tell me that he will confess his crimes to her. So I know there's a confession out there. Somebody knows what he's done. And I will let them know of that information. They will claim that it is hearsay, but they will tell me that they will try to track down this lady, Diane. I don't know if they ever did. The fact that I know that there's a confession floating around out there drives me crazy every day.
I want to go back, because you said something and I knew this and I should have brought it up. You said that your dad was the motive for it. So the way I understand it, your mom was talking to your dad, who was her ex-husband at that time. Was talking to your dad again. Do you know if there was validity to that, or was it just an accusation?
Well, my dad's had the same story for 30 years. She's tried to come back several times in the 6-year relationship, because she'll leave my dad for Russell and immediately try to come back to my dad, but he'll have a new girlfriend. He'll say at least a half a dozen times she'll try to come back. And on the night of July 8th, 1993, when she called upset with her boyfriend, Russell Bennett Peterson, my dad had a big empty house. It was just like a perfect storm of like consequences. So in 107 minutes, that phone call lasted 107 minutes. They'll make plans on that weekend for her to move back home. Like it was all set in motion. And then after they made the plan, she'll have dirty talk, because she claims that Russell is recording her phone calls. My dad has also held true to that story all my life, that she was extra super vulgar on the phone call because she wanted Russell to get mad, because she had been cheating on Russell already, and that's why Russell was recording her phone calls. So on this night, they proceeded to have like another 30 minutes of dirty talk. And so when Russell came home, in theory, according to my dad, speculation, he'll come home and listen to that, and it will make him like trigger, grabbing a gun, having a struggle. I don't doubt that it was an accident, Justin. I don't doubt it. But he claims that my mom grabbed the gun first to shoot at him. That never happened. That is where there is a lie. He got upset because he found out my mom wanted to leave, grabbed a gun to intimidate her because you're not going to leave with my daughter. And she put her hands up in defense. The gun went off. Boom. Here we are 30 years later. If you drive a car and hit somebody by accident, you're still, you know, go to
manslaughter.
Yeah. Why is it any different? I mean, it happened. He grabbed the gun, but he's gotten away with it for 30 years because he claims that my mom did it with an undominant left hand. She pulled off two shots. And that is against what the medical examiner is claiming. The gunpowder residue on my mom's left hand is because her hands were up in defense. That's what the medical examiner said. And when I got my case file, page 6 was missing. The final summary that says that that's why the gunpowder residue is there. They're withholding information from me, and I can prove that I have at least 4 pages that they have withheld from me because I compared it to my aunt's case file. It's ridiculous.
Have you taken this above local PD? What have you met when you've done that?
I sure did. I went through all the proper authorities at first, like I thought I was supposed to do. I put a 25-page packet together with my Aunt Wendy, who's been on this for decades. We sat down and wrote down 25 pages and sent it to the Yavapai County attorney, who's supposed to be prosecuting this man if there's ever charges. We sent it to all 3 offices of the Arizona Attorney General because he has 3 here. We will get an office from him, and he will say our complaint is best suited to the DOJ. We'll send the same packet to the Department of Justice. And guess what? Weeks later, the Department of Justice did send an FBI agent, Agent Kraps, to our house. He says, we got your packet. What can we do for you? We'll be elated. We'll say, we don't want you to go to Sedona. Please find out what's going on. And he will go there on behest of us and say, Sedona Police Department, how can we help you? I'm the federal government. The Wasilishin family claims that you need our help. The Sedona Police Department will say, no, sir, we don't need your help, and they will reject any assistance from the federal government. So essentially by summer, fall of 2022, I was starting back at the beginning, and I was mad with doing the proper authority. So that's why I went back into social media and going to media, because the proper channels resulted me in nothing, nothing. The federal government said, Ms. Wasilishin, there's nothing I can do because I am federal. I can't just go in there and take your mom's case. So where else do I go, Justin? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess social media is your choice, and social media does have a lot of power. It's a matter of getting people compelled to reach out to Sedona police and just antagonize the hell out of them, which they're going to threaten you for doing. But, you know, for this particular one, I asked you to come on the show, you know, so they can come after me if they want. That's fine. I don't care. But, yeah, you know, I asked you to be on the show. So, you know, it's one of those things. So if anybody who's listening to this, you want to reach out to Sedona Police Department, I guess, would they be under Homicide Division, Cold Case Division? Who would be the one, who's lead on it?
Sergeant Laura Leon. They're such a small little police department.
It's a tiny town.
People. Yeah, it's tiny town. And in 93, it was even worse. So
yeah,
they dropped the ball from go, and now they're just trying to cover it. But Laura Leon is your contact person.
Okay. I will say, though, and I know this is off topic, and I said at the beginning, it is gorgeous where you are. It is one of the prettiest places I have ever seen. My friend got married there in July, and the only complaint I had is I felt the sun was trying to murder me. Because it was so hot. My contact lenses literally melted to my eyeballs. Like, it was impossible to get them out. So
Were you in Phoenix?
I did fly into Phoenix, but then we went there. The wedding was there. But it was July, and we're all in suit, you know, tuxes and suits, and it was a whole thing. But anyway, I digress. It's irrelevant to the topic. I'm just saying it's beautiful country out there.
It really is half the year.
Yeah, half the year. So I'm frustrated for you at this point, Nicole. I'm like so for like it's to have this information and why? But why? Like why? Like, what's their reasoning behind this? Because it seems to me what we've seen, what you've shown previews of, the 911 call, the fact that they've talked to him. At this point, you know, 1993 was 31 years ago, right? So this is coming up on 31 years. I would imagine that you have a different force, you know, different people on the force than you would have had 30 years ago. And you would think that somebody, would be involved. What about, so I know that I live in Tennessee, and we have the TBI, which is the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. I would imagine y'all have some similar type of agency, correct? Like a state bureau, and have you reached out to them?
No, I haven't. That's a good avenue to look up if that is something that can take authority, because the FBI didn't. I thought it was the end all, that was it. The FBI couldn't step in. But if there's somebody else I go to, let me know. I will write them. I will call them. I just don't know what to do.
I'm trying to see if it is, if there is one of those. I think that there is an Arizona Bureau of Investigation, an ABI. I think that there is. You'd have to probably Google it and try to find it, but there's an FBI source there too. I'm just kind of Googling while we're talking, but there's an organization. I think it might go under Arizona Department of Public Safety, might be where it's at. But if you go to Indeed, it says there's 36 Arizona Bureau of Investigation jobs available in Phoenix. So it's not even that far, because Phoenix is what, a couple hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours from you.
Yeah,
So,
well, I'm in Cave Creek. I don't live in Sedona. God forbid I live in
okay.
Yavapai County. They're coming for me. No, I'm just north of Phoenix.
Who holds authority over Sedona PD? Somebody has to. Do you
I
know?
don't know. You tell me. I don't know. I thought the FBI
Not.
could. Again.
Now, there's a state. Every state typically has their ability, of a investigatory bureau. So, like, I know in South Carolina it's SLED, it's Georgia it's the GBI, Tennessee it's the TBI. So every state has one. So I would imagine that you all do too. It might not be called, like I said, on Indeed, it shows that there are jobs for the Arizona Bureau of Investigation, but a website for them doesn't just come up. So you might have to do a little digging, but I guarantee you that there is got to be some kind of additional law enforcement there.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely reach out to anybody that'll listen to me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Police department's going to answer to some entity. So, somebody coming out of possibly some, probably some governing body out of Phoenix or something like that would be my guess.
Here's hoping somebody will listen.
It's a thought. It's
Well, I'll
another
definitely look into
avenue
it.
it's another avenue. What else do you want to tell people? What else do we need to know that I haven't asked?
He's dying. I found out 2 weeks ago from somebody that he knows that reached out to me that God is going to get him in the long run. And I asked them to, please specify. And they let me know that he is very sick. He has pancreatitis, he has cancer. He's gone through two surgeries. He's going through chemotherapy and that he is currently suffering. And the Sonoma Police Department is aware that he is very ill. If that is why they choose not to pursue, because they, I don't know. All I know is that I feel a little bit robbed, because I feel like my time is running out for to hold him accountable, because I found out this information just recently. So,
Yeah,
how
and
you
I
doing, Russell?
agree. I would agree with that. That even if they were never going to bring him to trial, to at least charge him so there is some accountability. And police departments and state agencies are pretty bad about doing that. And I'm thinking very recently, and I'm not trying to hijack it here. If you were following me during this, there was a woman named Carolyn Bryant Donham, who in the 1950s caused the death of a 14-year-old black boy because he was black during Jim Crow era Mississippi. And they found an unserved warrant for her, and they had an opportunity. She was sick. She was old. She died about a year and a half later. But they had the opportunity to hold her accountable, and they chose not to, even though the evidence was overwhelming. They just decided not to. And I agree, if your time is running out, your time is running thin, then the time for action is now.
I
You can't charge somebody posthumously. I know, I'm sorry.
I feel slightly validated that he's dying horribly, and this started apparently 2 years ago. Why he started getting sick when I started bringing this to the forefront, like I started putting her face back out there. If she is making him sick, I feel validated, but I do feel a little bit robbed, because I've wanted accountability for so long, and this is fresh information. So I know he watches. I'm still coming for you. How you doing? It's not going to stop me.
Yeah, well, and we, I'm with you. I'm on the same page. If you took somebody's life, like you said, doesn't matter if it was accident, doesn't matter if it was on purpose. I guess it doesn't matter if it's on purpose, because then that's different. But even if it was on accident, it's still manslaughter. You still took somebody's life. That changes the trajectory of your life. It changes the trajectory of everybody's life who was involved with your mom. And somebody needs to be accountable, even if it's in name only at this point, even if it's on a sheet of paper that just says, hey, you did this, you're being held accountable. You're going to die knowing that this is on your record. This is what you did. Everybody's going to know.
That would make me feel better. That is what I want. Yes.
So here's what I'd like to do. For anybody that's listening to this, you know who to call. Nikki told y'all. Reach out, send emails, send letters. And for you, Nikki, let me know what you find out in regard to some kind of state agency with Arizona, because I'd love to revisit that, possibly even put you on a live on TikTok to talk about this and see what we can do to kind of get some justice for it.
I would love that. And yeah, I'll definitely look into this because I'm not stopping. I'll talk to anybody, government agency or social media people. So I'm on it.
Have you talked to any lawyers about it?
No, unfortunately, 2 years of speaking candidly on camera, nobody in my practices in Arizona, other states, but they don't practice here. Paralegals have reached out to me. They've given me some advice, but no, I have nobody to take it on pro bono. I've had some advice saying that I have a wrongful death suit, but I need to find a wrongful death attorney that practices here in Arizona.
Okay. So if anybody's listening to this and you know somebody are willing to take on the case, reach out to me and I'll get you in touch with Nikki. So that's what we'll try to do and see what we can do. Before we wrap it up, anything else that you want to share?
No, I'm just very awestruck. This, I am very candid on my interviews, but this one was a little tongue-tied for me because I've watched you for 2 years. So this was, there's been a couple interviews I've done. This will be one of them. Everybody knows that Nikki was starstruck during the Justin on TikTok interview. So thank you, Justin, for doing this.
Thank you. You're welcome. And we have comments going on this one. And Judy is one of my longtime followers. She lives in Michigan. She is an attorney. I call her my attorney because she helps me out with everything. She said that you can talk to her. So when we get off, I will give you Judy's information and y'all can have a conversation.
Judy's
tough. I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Judy. I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God. I love Judy already.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to give your story a platform. That's a privilege to be able to do that. And let's see what we can do to bring justice to your mom before he leaves this world.
Thank you, Justin. You're the man. I appreciate you. And thank you, Judy, and everybody that's listened.
All right. And thank everybody for listening. And we will be back again with another episode shortly. And I'm trying to do more than once a month now. So we're going to see what happens with that. But anyways, again, thank you so much, Nikki. And we will see you guys later.
Bye, guys. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So this.